From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? It is Friday. Yes, TGIF. I'm sure many of you who are working right now, I mean, this is probably your last day before the Christmas break. How about that? I can't believe it's almost here now. Christmas just 6 days away. We'll close things out this week here on Current Sports with a bang. We'll talk about a certain MSU men's basketball player who is out. Yes, another injury, folks. We'll talk about the implications and what this could allude to now and what the future holds for this MSU men's basketball team. We'll also talk about an interesting game this weekend. Of course, the Lions and Bears. The Lions and Bears, a big game for the Lions because, I mean, hey, if they do beat the Bears, it puts them in a prime time position now to really solidify a spot in the playoffs. Interesting stuff. We'll give you a preview of that. If you missed Current Sports TV last night, you'll get to hear that as well. The interview with Mike Ball on how to eat healthy throughout the holidays. All of that and so much more, folks. But as custom here on Current Sports, let's start the show like we always do, shall we? Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this December 19th. All right, folks, Brandon Dawson suffered a stable non-displaced fracture on his left wrist. He will miss Michigan State's next two games and could be back in action for the start of the Big Ten season. He will undergo further evaluation after the break. Tom Izzo says, quote, "I feel bad for Brandon, and he's practicing so well over the last few weeks, but we also feel a bit fortunate when you look at the video from that game. It certainly could have been worse. BJ has been a quicker healer in the past, and we anticipate this being the same," end quote. So Brandon Dawson, again, out for the MSU basketball team. Again, he could be back in action for the start of the Big Ten season, two games before that starts. All right, Detroit Pistons will try and snap a two-game losing streak tonight as they play host to the top dog in the NBA's Eastern Conference, the Toronto Raptors. Now, the Pistons have a 5-21 record, which is the third worst in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Tip time is set for 7:30 p.m. tonight. All right, former Detroit Pistons draft bust, get this. Darko Milicic, a 7-foot Serb who spent 10 years with various teams after being the second overall pick in 2003 behind the great LeBron James. Get this, he has lost his first kickboxing fight. Yes, that is what Darko is currently indulging in now. The 29-year-old Milicic sustained a bloody cut on his left leg in the first round of an exhibition match against Serbian fighter Radovan Radicic on Thursday night. Now, the World Kickboxing Association bout had to be stopped in the second round on doctor's orders. Milicic said afterwards, quote, "The next time, it will be better. I'm invincible." How about that? All right. The Celtics have traded point guard Rajon Rondo to the Dallas Mavericks on Thursday night, cutting ties with the last remnant of Boston's last NBA championship while giving Dirk Nowitzki and the Mavericks a chance to another title. Now, the Celtics are sending the all-star point guard and forward Dwight Powell to Dallas for Brandon Wright, Jay Crowder, and Jameer Nelson, and draft picks. Now, Boston will also receive a conditional first-round pick in the 2015 draft and a second-rounder in 2016, as well as a $12.9 million trade exemption. Maybe the Celtics are tanking. What do you think? All right, the Detroit Red Wings might not mind avoiding another shootout after losing three, during their season-high skid, which they'll try to end tonight against the Islanders at Joe Louis Arena. Now, Detroit lost 1-0 in a shootout to Columbus on Tuesday and dropped to 1-6 in the format this season. Puck drop against the Islanders at the Joe is at 7:30 p.m. All right, Michigan-born supermodel, get this, Kate Upton. She was named People's Sexiest Woman at the magazine's inaugural award show Thursday night. So what does she have to say to that boyfriend of hers? Yes, Justin Verlander, pitcher of the Detroit Tigers. She says, quote, "Clearly, Justin has it good." "You're welcome, Justin," end quote. Gotta love that. All right. Despite Coach Mark Trestman benching him just 14 games into a 7-year, $126.7 million contract, quarterback Jay Cutler hopes to remain with the Chicago Bears. But he acknowledged on Thursday that, quote, "It definitely crossed my mind that he has possibly played his final game with the team. It's just a bad situation for Jay Cutler out with the Bears." Now, Trestman pulled Cutler and backup Jimmy Clausen into a meeting on Wednesday to inform the QBs of the decision to go on later on Sunday with the Bears hosting the Lions at Soldier Field. Cutler said that he didn't take the demotion well at the time. So again, Jimmy Clausen getting the start against the Lions this Sunday. We're going to give you a preview of that game in just a sec. And last but not least, another story concerning another Upton. The San Diego Padres have acquired left fielder Justin Upton from the Atlanta Braves. Now, Upton will join a Padres outfield that includes slugger Matt Kemp, acquired this month in a trade with the LA Dodgers. Kemp was the first of a few big deals by new Padres GM A.J. Preller, who also added outfielder Will Myers, the 2013 American League Rookie of the Year from Tampa Bay, and all-star catcher Derek Norris from Oakland. So big moves being made by the San Diego Padres. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in, give your thoughts on any of those, you know that number, folks. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Well, let's start the show. All right, folks. Well, again, later on during our second segment of today's Current Sports, if you happen to miss Current Sports TV last night, boy, it was a doozy of an episode. We invited Mike Ball, who is a personal trainer and fitness guru, folks. I tell you what, Mike is always a fantastic interview, but he was in the house at the WKAR TV studios for Current Sports, and he chatted with me on how do exactly you stay healthy with all of the temptation that comes along with the holiday season. I mean, again, you're going to sit down this, 6 days from now, sit down with your family and friends after you're done ripping open the presents, and you're going to sit down and see turkey and dressing and macaroni and cheese and pies and, oh my goodness, it's going to be a feast, folks. So how do you eat and binge, I guess you could say, without going overboard? And doing it in a relatively, I don't know if you can call it healthy, but doing it relatively healthy manner, quote unquote, that doesn't put on a lot of pounds over the holiday break. So Mike Ball had some great tips. He had some great advice and just had some good insight as to anyone who's trying to live a more healthier lifestyle. So again, if you missed it, you can check out the video of that episode at video.wkar.org right now. It is posted online. But, you know, we're going to play the interview for those that missed it on today's show. So you do not want to miss that. Again, that'll be around the 1:30 mark, folks. Okay. We'll also be going into our year of reflection. You guys know each and every Friday we love to reflect on the week that was in sports and give you our favorite stories that we may have talked about and covered here on the show and some that we didn't. So again, the year is about to end. Not only is Christmas right around the corner, but again, we are just a few days away, 2 weeks away from the start of a new year, new goals, new slate for everyone out there. It's an exciting time. This is my favorite time of the year, folks, because again, you not only get to gather with your family, friends, and reminisce on the year that was, but again, you get to start fresh and set some new goals and, you know, and try to change your life for the better. I love it. So with that being said, we're going to look at the year that was here on Current Sports and give you our year of reflection on today's show. So we're going to look at some of our favorite moments, some of our favorite guests, just some of, give you, and Alex and I will just kind of run down our favorite times here on Current Sports in the year 2014. So you don't want to miss our year of reflection. And we'll also talk about the big trade that sent Rajon Rondo to the Dallas Mavericks. Ah, interesting stuff, folks. It's so interesting because I was actually sitting back yesterday, and you know I'm a big NBA junkie. I got League Pass. Thank you. I mean, if I don't get anything for Christmas, I'm just happy that I have NBA League Pass in my house right now. Okay, you guys know I'm a big NBA guy. But anyway, I was checking out the games last night on NBA on TNT, and actually, I don't know if you saw the game, but the
Bulls are.
No, not that was the first game. The Bulls game was pretty good, too.
Are you talking about the Golden State game?
Yeah, that Golden State game was very entertaining. Golden State took on the Oklahoma City Thunder. And you know what? Watching Steph Curry play and Klay Thompson play, you know, I was sitting there watching those two guys, and even Kevin Durant. Guy, if you saw Kevin Durant last night, folks, I mean, he was in a complete zone before twisting his ankle late in the first half. But Kevin Durant scored 30 points. 30 points. Can you believe that? In just one half alone, in under 20 minutes, he actually became the first player since the NBA and ABA merger to score at least 30 points in less than 20 minutes. The first player to ever do that since the merger. I mean, that is remarkable. And just imagine how many points he could have had if he would have kept playing after he sprained an ankle in the first half. But, I mean, just a ridiculous performance from Kevin Durant. Another great performance by Russell Westbrook. I mean, he single-handedly kept his team in that game during the final stretch of that game. And then you had Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, the Splash Brothers, just lighting it up from anywhere. You know what? I mean, and watching those two, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, I mean, you can make an argument that if those two do, let's say they you know, fulfill a rich NBA career and they do end up playing with each other throughout their entire tenure in the league, I mean, you can make an argument that they have the potential to become the best backcourt. Yes, I'm saying it, the best backcourt in NBA history. They're that good, Alex. I think they have a lot of potential to do, too. I've never seen two guards be able to shoot the ball like that.
And especially against a team like Golden State, who has been tremendous so far this year. Did you, by chance, catch the Connecticut game as they took on the Dukies? Did you catch
it? I followed it. I wasn't tuning in, though, no.
That was pretty interesting, too. I mean, can you believe a national championship team under Kevin Ollie starts the year unranked? Isn't that something? Yeah, they lose Shabazz, but they still have Boatwright. They still have a couple pieces. And for the most part, although they lost, they still played a pretty good game, Al. For the most part, Connecticut looked pretty good. And I think that as much as they were last year as well, another dark horse year for Kevin Ollie's team.
Interesting. All right, well, we'll see. We'll certainly see. Again, I didn't watch it. I was watching NBA. I'm an NBA junkie. So, again, I was checking out the Splash Brothers. Again, there. And you know what? The NBA is such a good place for me because, you know, there was a time. When you looked at the NBA, especially after the Jordan era, I mean, there are a lot of people just condemning the NBA saying, okay, Jordan's gone. Why watch? What superstars are still playing? Why do you want to watch? And yeah, the ratings did take a dip, especially after the year 1998 when Jordan played his final season with the Bulls. And there were a lot of dollars out there. But I tell you what, watching the NBA today, folks, I mean, my goodness, it is so entertaining. You got legitimately, I would say, like 12 to 14 guys in today's NBA that if you have to stop what you're doing to watch, you have to. I mean, and again, Kevin Durant, looking just like last night, I mean, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. How about Draymond Green, folks, former MSU men's basketball player? He is having a breakout season, a breakout year with the Golden State Warriors. He was fantastic, almost had a triple-double last night. I think Draymond, it's safe to say that man has certainly arrived in the NBA. And again, you know, I just enjoy watching because you have a plethora of superstars on just about every night that you can tune into. And again, hey, how about Steph Curry, though? I mean, I want to say it. I think Steph Curry, when it's all said and done with his career, he will be the greatest shooter of all time. The kid is that good. Unbelievable. All right, Alex, let's transition now. Let's talk a little MSU hoops. Some alarming news concerning this team that was released yesterday. I mean, it was alarming as soon as it happened. Of course, Brandon Dawson going up for that dunk against Eastern Michigan earlier this week. He got bumped in the air, came down on his tailbone. But a lot of people, you know, it was interesting because a lot of people at the game saw him come down on his tailbone and thought it was a tailbone injury. But those at home actually saw the replay and saw that upon that fall, Brandon Dawson had tried to brace himself with his arms. And a lot of weight and pressure came down on that left wrist of his. And it was released yesterday, again, that Brandon Dawson had suffered a stable non-displaced fracture on his left wrist. He will miss Michigan State's next two games, which are non-conference games, but could be back in action for the start of the Big Ten season, which, again, they will play Maryland, who is ranked number 17 right now in the Associated Press poll. So, again, well, first off, Alex, to address this, I mean, I would say if you're going to have an injury, and it seemed as though it would not be a Michigan State men's basketball season without an injury. It's interesting because, again, I ask you guys all the time to tweet, you know, or go on Facebook and whatnot. And actually, a few of you listeners out there actually follow me on Instagram. The Gram is what they call it. And just to read a few comments here, because I said I would read those on the air as well. Monsieur South Beach says, and this is after this is their reaction after hearing that Brandon Dawson, of course, is out now until Big Ten play at least. Monsieur Beach, South Beach says, quote, everybody needs to step up. We are losing one of the nation's best offensive rebounders and hustle players. The youngsters should get more clock, and the team need to hit the glass offensively and defensively. All right, thanks a lot, Monsieur South Beach. And also, Kev Bay Nation says, it ain't a real MSU B-ball season until someone gets hurt. LOL. Yeah, and that's, and I, two very good comments again. Thanks, guys, for chiming in. Again, our phone lines are open if you want to chime in on this discussion as well. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. But again, yeah, I mean, it seems as though every single year, as of recently, I should say, that MSU was always dealing with injuries to start the season. If you look at last year, I mean, you had Keith Appling, who dealt with injuries, you know, pretty much about 70 to 80% of that year last year. He started off great. I mean, was in National Player of the Year talks, Big Ten Player of the Year talks. Then he, you know, injures that hip and never was the same. Adrian Payne, of course, I mean, he had the leg injury last year, had to sit out with a boot for a few games. Gary Harris, he had his troubles as well. I mean, and again, it all happened at the very beginning of the season for this team, and it seemed to sort of linger as the season went on as well. So, I mean, now, you talk about Brandon Dawson. I mean, this is a player that everybody has been high on since this season has started for Michigan State. He's a player that certainly many people feel as though is another guy who could be in contention talks when it comes to the Big Ten Player of the Year. So you're losing help in one of the areas that you need it most, I feel, and that's on the inside. Costello, Schilling, and now even Best, as he comes back off of his injury, those three more specifically have to step up now in light of losing Brandon Dawson. Because Brandon Dawson is ideally your cleanup guy. I mean, all he said, I mean, he's the garbage man. He's like the number one guy in getting those loose balls, getting those gritty rebounds, hustling on the court. I mean, when you lose a guy like that, you know, other guys have to step up now. So I'm going to be expecting more now from Costello, Schilling, and Best. I would like to see those three more specifically get involved more, especially on the offensive end as well. Now, you know, if you look at it and look at this team, again, they have dealt with injuries before. It's been a staple to what this team has been dealing with the past 2 years now. Early adversity, though, leads to late success for Tom Izzo teams. Izzo has shown that. I mean, we're going to see what this team is made of now. I mean, losing a guy like Brandon Dawson, who is a big chunk of what you do offensively and also defensively as well. I mean, he impacts both sides of the court. And I talk about how Michigan State is such a great transition team. I mean, you're losing probably your best transition player now. How MSU deals with this is going to be crucial. Now, again, it's great that you are having this problem now rather than later, because Michigan State plays Texas Southern, an unranked team. Then they move on to play the Citadel. Great two games to find out where this team is headed and how this team can adjust without having one of their key components. They then hit Maryland on December 30th, which, again, that's when Big Ten play starts for this team, which is the only ranked team until meeting Maryland again on January 17th. I mean, this is a perfect stretch to have adversity and injuries if you're going to have them. So, you know, again, it's got to happen now. But again, other players have to step up. Going to be very interesting to see. And this is a golden opportunity. I talk about those guys who need to step up, specifically on the inside. Costello, Schilling, Best, you know, the front court has to really take another level, take on another persona, another mantra. And these are two good games for them to do that before conference season starts in Texas Southern in the Citadel. You can try different things, you know, and I would like to see, especially Matt Costello, be more aggressive on the offensive end. Costello has really not been a threat offensively. I mean, when he's gotten the ball, it's usually either he takes two dribbles to back his defender down or kicks it back out. I mean, you never really see him, Matt Costello, grab the basketball, making a power move to the basket and trying to score. Costello has to find himself offensively because I do believe this team needs more scoring inside. You got that relatively consistent with Dawson, I guess you can say, this season. Even Dawson had, you know, he has his stretches some games where he kind of disappears. But still, if there is a big man that you can count on to give you points, it was Brandon Dawson. Gavin Schilling did show me last game, though, against EMU, that he also can sort of acclimate to that scoring role as well. But again, guys are now going to have to step up. But this is an interesting stretch for MSU to now improve and find out who they really want to be. Alex, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a good point about Costello being more aggressive. But at the same time, it's so coincidental that Javon Best is back, Al. I mean, Izzo said he's one of their stronger players. And with Dawson, a very strong player that maybe Marvin Clark doesn't necessarily, you know, take up all of that lack of need that when Dawson's out. I think the combination between Clark and Best together rotating as true freshmen, think about it. Between Clark and Lou Rawls and Aaron, which of them have been a failure so far? None of them. All the freshmen have been great.
Well, I will say this. I would like to see, and you talk about aggressiveness and confidence, I think Tum Tum hasn't really shown us anything yet.
He hasn't shown anything, you know, off the charts. He's not making top tens on ESPN, Al.
Yeah,
he's still doing what he needs to do in that supporting, you know, seventh man role off the bench.
Well, I disagree. I think, like I said yesterday, I think Tum Tum is still trying to find his identity on this team. Because it seems as though when he's out there, I mean, he facilitates so much. It's almost like he's not looking for his game. He's out there he's just out there. He's just passing the ball around. I haven't seen Tum Tum take an aggressive notion. I talk about having that confidence. He just doesn't look confident out there with the basketball. He did take a few shots against EMU, but even those were like, okay, everybody else is covered. I'm wide open. I might as well take it. It wasn't a confident jump shot. You know what I mean? So I think Tum Tum, we still haven't seen what Tum Tum is made of just yet.
I see what you're saying. We've seen splashes of that. We've seen him go off the fast break. That's his game, though, Al. The Tum Tum game is running on fast breaks. That's his game.
He's
a runner.
I don't know.
He's one of the quickest guards in the country. That's why he came here.
I haven't seen enough of Tum Tum this season.
You've got to watch his highlight tape. He is a quick runner, man.
Well, I understand that. But being on Michigan State's basketball team this year, I mean, there are so many moving parts and so many components. Again, I still think this team is sort of finding out who it is. Right now, the glaring identity for this MSU men's basketball team is that they can shoot the ball. Other than that, I mean, there's really no other area of consistency that you can allude to. As far as Tum Tum goes, again, I mean, he's a guy, he definitely has a lot of athleticism, he has a lot of speed, but as far as him and what his role is on this team, I don't know what Tum Tum's role is on this team right now. I just don't know.
That's true, and you've seen him more as a facilitator so far. Is that fair to say?
Right,
he's been
exactly.
more of a facilitator.
He's not looking for his shots. He's just out there just being an average point guard.
But again,
right,
he's not the best shooter, and we knew that coming in, Al. We knew that Tum Tum, shooting-wise, even Izzo said it in the offseason.
But we know he can slash.
Right.
That's one thing we do know, and I still haven't even seen that from him yet. So
A little bit. You've seen splashes of it.
Yeah,
not consistently,
yeah.
I agree. But come on, as a freshman, you're going to see a little bit of that. When
right,
Keith Apple
exactly.
came here,
yeah.
he was more of a bigger playmaker, but he played that facilitator role, Al, for 3 of his 4 years.
Right.
It wasn't
no,
until
I agree.
His senior year when he started to get outside of that facilitator role, starting to drive down the paint, being a slasher, just like what you envision as Tum Tum being.
No, I agree. And that's the thing about, you know, if you look at a guy like Keith Appling, I mean, maybe right now Tum Tum is going through what Keith Appling went through when he first came to Michigan State, trying to find themselves, because it wasn't until really Keith Appling hit his senior year where he really started to blossom, and you saw him just the confidence was there. He wasn't afraid to attack the basket. He was looking for his shot, but also getting others involved. As a point guard, historically at Michigan State, you want to have that balance between scoring and also getting your teammates involved as well. That's what point guards have done. I mean, you can go all the way back to the days of Mateen Cleese. Mateen was that type of point guard. He could score when you needed him to, but he also got others involved. Keith Appling was the same way. I mean, going back, you know, the guard for MSU 3 years ago. Kalen Lucas. Kalen Lucas was right. the same way. He scored and also facilitated. So, I mean, that's historically how point guards have been. I think Tum Tum will eventually mature into that role, but we just haven't seen him do it yet. He's young.
Yeah, but also another thing to keep in mind, aside from Tum Tum, back to Dawson for a second. Tom Izzo said last game that Marvin Clark was a little bit of up and down, and Mike Griffith's column on him live today is all about how Marvin Clark needs to step up more and have a role. So my question for you, Al, is who's the bigger role for Dawson's replacement? Is it Clark? Are you relying on more on Costello, like you said, or is it Javon Best coming in new?
I would say, if I had to choose, and again, this is all speculation right now, when it comes to Best, because again,
yeah,
we haven't
we
seen
see.
Much of him.
It's
yeah,
what we see.
I think that Schilling, to be honest with you, I think that really Gavin Schilling, to me, has a tremendous upside. When he's in games, he impacts them on both ends of the floor. We've seen him with some thunderous dunks. The kid is so athletic. He's so strong to be so young. I think that Gavin Schilling is going to have a bigger impact than all of those guys, to be honest with you. Marvin Clark Jr. can do that, though. I mean, he's got that great outside-inside game. But I just think that when it comes to those scrappy plays, Schilling has seemed to acclimate into that role and fit in that puzzle more so than any one of the big guys, I think.
That's a good point, and it's outside the box a little bit. You know, he isn't really brought up in a lot in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing about Schilling that we haven't seen yet is let's see how he does against really good competition. Not to say that they haven't yet. They played some great teams in Kansas, but in the games he's been good, I think have been against those mid-major kind of giddy-up games that we saw with Oakland. Well, granted, Oakland is pretty good, and same with EMU, but maybe you saw that with some of their other games this year.
Well, that's the thing, though.
Texas,
I mean,
Southern, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you want these guys to emerge, I mean, this is a perfect opportunity for them to do so, because it looks as though Brandon Dawson is going to be back. Again, that's what we're reading here, you know, in time for the Big Ten opener. So they play Texas Southern, they play the Citadel. Those are two teams where you can experiment a little bit. You know, guys can experiment a little bit and not, you know, they can take more risk instead of going against a top tier team where, you know, if you make those little mistakes in those games, they can be glaring and you can possibly lose those games. But against Texas Southern and Citadel, you can experiment a little bit and guys can define their roles more so. So if it's going to happen, like I said, if this injury is going to happen, this is a perfect opportunity for Dawson to be out before you get into the thick and thin of your schedule.
I see what you're saying. And just to wrap up here, it's expected he'll be back for the Big Ten. It's not guaranteed. And when you look at a fracture versus a sprain, it's a whole lot different than a severe sprain to the wrist. I mean, a fracture, you get limited a little bit, man. I've had a fracture before. I know what that's like. It's a little bit different. I'm not Brandon Dawson. Izzo said it himself. Look at how quick he recovered last year from his injury. So it's not to say that he won't, but prepare for the worst. And if Dawson's not back, you're going to have to rely a lot more on Schilling with better competition.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a doctor here, but it says a stable, non-displaced fracture. If any doctors
are
listening,
let's get Covan on. Let's ask.
Yeah. Well, if there is any doctors or nurses out there listening to the show, I don't know what non-displaced means. So please call in and explain that and educate the youth here.
I imagine that just means it's not, you know, it didn't move, it didn't shift. It's still in the
place.
What
does that mean, though? I mean, when you have a fracture, doesn't it move automatically
because
you break
it? Maybe you got a little bone fracture, a little chip, a little chip off the old bone.
I'm going to have to wiki that. I have no idea what that means. So 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Briefly, before we hit the first break, Alex, I want to talk about the Lions and Bears, of course. The Lions and Bears will go at it this weekend. And again, Jay Cutler, long-time starter for the Chicago Bears. He will not be starting this weekend. As you just heard during our current Sports Quickie Headliners, Jimmy Clausen will be making that start. Before we talk about that really quick, we have Mary online. She's going to tell us what a non-displaced fracture means. Mary, how you doing? And thanks for educating us here.
I am well, thanks. How are you?
Good.
I'm not a nurse, not a medical professional, but
right.
A non-displaced fracture is one where the bone is still in line.
Ah.
It has a break in it, but it's not like part of the bone has shifted over and is sitting next to the other part of the bone that it broke away from. It's all in a straight line.
So okay, it's so it's
in,
all in
the
a
line
straight line.
It's supposed to be, yeah.
So there is a break, but not a full break then, basically.
Well, it's probably a full break, but it means that the bone has not moved. The two parts of the bone are still exactly where they should be, and there's just a break in it.
Ah,
and
interesting.
If it's displaced, you have to pull the bone, one end of the bone out and put it back in place.
Right.
And then sometimes pin it or cast it or whatever, but a non-displaced fracture is just, it's a much easier break to heal in most circumstances.
So the healing time for it is pretty quick? Is that safe to assume?
You would think.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, Mary, that is great insight. Appreciate that call.
No problem.
See, this is why we love our listeners here on Current Sports. See that, Alex? I just got educated. We don't just go into sports. We go into medical terms and everything. See that? So, yeah hopefully, you know, Brandon Dawson is back soon.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, Mary obviously won't know this. She's not a medical professional, but the fact that it's still in line, does that limit his ability even more? Would it be less?
Oh,
I imagine
boy.
Less.
I don't know.
If it's still in line, it's probably not as bad, right?
Alex, this is above my pay grade. Above my pay grade, brother. I have no idea. But Mary, that was great, great insight. I have to probably Google and Wiki that later. But that's great stuff there. All right. Well, really briefly, Alex, Lions and Bears. I mean, ideally, when you're looking at this matchup, I mean, this is the perfect opponent late in the season. For me, looking at it, because I don't think the Bears are going to win this game. It probably will be a blowout, but who knows with the Lions, especially that offense that hasn't been consistent all year. But this is a perfect opportunity late in the year to get an easy W and put a pad on that record before the playoff starts. I mean, and again, looking at the Bears, I mean, goodness gracious, it's been just an atrocious year to watch Chicago. They've had two nationally televised embarrassments in a row, folks, at Soldier Field, losing to Dallas and the Saints. I just don't see how the Bears, especially when you make this move where you're taking Cutler out, you're putting in Jimmy Clausen. He's only played three plays this entire year. We don't know how good he's going to be, but you're putting this kid in this situation now, or this player in this situation, because Jimmy Graham has been in the league since at least 2010. So you're putting Jimmy in a situation now where you're playing a team in the Lions, a 10-4 team, a team that's second in the NFC division. I mean, how can you really expect the Bears to win this game? And looking at the first time these two teams met earlier this season, Alex, Matt Forte, get this, Matt Forte, one of the best running backs in the entire NFL. I mean, he's been relatively consistent, if you can call any of that on the Bears team consistent. Matt Forte has still brought it. He actually got completely shut down against the Detroit Lions. He rushed for 6 yards on 5 attempts against the Lions in that game earlier this season. Now, again, they tried to use him in flats routes and keep him on the outside, throw the ball to him a little bit to vary the rushing yards and to try to get him more involved. He was completely shut down in that area as well. If you look at it, you talk about those slow starts for the Lions. That was a slow start as well against the Bears earlier this year. Detroit found themselves in a 14-3 hole. But as halftime hit, they seemed to click. It was 24-14 at the half, and the Lions went on the roll. I think the Lions is a great W for them here, a great opportunity to play a very weak team before going to Lambeau Field and playing the powerhouse that is the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, it makes sense on paper. It is pandemonium in Chicago, Al. The fact that Cutler didn't take it well, you got Trestman pressured up the gazoo, you got $126 million sitting there on the bench. The Bears are under intense pressure right now from an overall team standpoint, and that should only help the Lions.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a blowout. Blowout, not even close. All right, folks, well, let's hit our first break of the show. When we come back, if you missed Current Sports TV last night and said, man, I want to stay in shape. It's the holidays. I know there's going to be a lot of goodies throughout the entire weekend, holiday weekend, I should say. How do I stay fit while still indulging in it? You'll find out in just a sec, all right? Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Know how to read my mind. I get this feeling we are next to me.
Hey, what's up, beautiful people? Whoa, you are in for a treat now. Because if you missed Current Sports last night, of course, Current Sports TV airs each and every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Last night, fantastic episode. I sat down with Mike Ball, who is a personal trainer and fitness guru. Mike has been on the radio show here before and joined us to talk about nutrition. I remember we had a big steroids and sports week earlier this summer. And Mike was on the show with us to talk about the effects that steroids can have, so on and so forth. So Mike joined me on the show last night to talk about how do you stay healthy, eat right, continue to work out while enjoying in the unhealthy festivities of the holiday weekend. And by that, I mean all of the food, all of the cake and candy and oh, man, I tell you what. I mean, it's stuff. It isn't good for your body, but, man, is it good. You know what I mean. So how do you stay healthy during all of that time, folks? So Mike sat down with me to chat about it, and I first had to talk to Mike about, I mean, just how he got involved and try to find some inspiration in his story on just how he got involved into the whole personal training world.
Well, here he is to help us all out. Mike Ball, how you doing, Mike?
Good, Al.
Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot for joining me today. Well, I got to ask, you know, when looking at this whole thing, again, it's the holidays. Mm-hmm. I know when I go back home, it's going to be so many. I'm going to be teased a lot looking at that Christmas table.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people want to know, I mean, how do you survive the holidays without gaining pounds? Now, I want to get to that in just a sec. But before
okay.
we do,
okay.
maybe we can find some inspiration in your story first. How All did right. you get into personal training?
Well, Al, I've been involved in the fitness industry in some capacity for about 30 years now, ever since coming out of college. It was something I studied in college and got right into. It's always been a passion, a personal passion of mine to work out. And I decided, let's put this into a career and actually have some fun and make it profitable and do something along those fitness lines. I've had jobs ranging from, and still do, adjunct faculty member. I love teaching. It's a passion of mine. It's always going to be something I enjoy. Did corporate wellness at General Motors, really trying to help employees stay healthy and get well. Had the opportunity to work with a lot of high school and college athletes, various athletic teams and so forth in the area. I only got involved in personal training literally about 3 years ago, so it was relatively late in my career, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things where, you know, people ask you a lot of questions. What sorts of things should I be eating? Can you write a workout for me? You know, help me out a little bit with my own program. And finally, you come to the conclusion, you know what, maybe we should look at this and actually put something into a little bit of a more formal sort of process, and decide to become a personal trainer. And rest is history. Done it for a little over 3 years, and it's been real successful for me, and I love it. It's kind of a love-hate relationship, Al. I mean, I love my clients. They hate me, but you know what? They get results, so that's all that matters. So it's a great, very rewarding sort of thing for me. So it's educated me probably as much as I've had the opportunity to educate my clients on it.
So if someone is working with you, Mike, you're pretty tough on them then. I mean, there's no cutting the edges here, right?
I'm tough, but I'm fair. The way I like to look at, when you're a personal trainer, you got to be a little bit of a chameleon. You got to look at the client, you sit down, you talk, and you find out, you know what are the best strategies I can employ to help this person reach their fitness goals? Mm-hmm. And for some people, you go a little slower, it's a little more nurturing, it's something where you establish the relationship, because that's as important to them early on, the trust factor and the dynamic of that, as it is actually going through and sometimes doing the exercises themselves. Other people, they just need that kick in the rear, and they need a coach, they need somebody yelling at them and getting them out there and motivating them. So you find out what dynamic's gonna work best, and then you kind of evolve into that. Again, the primary focus being to help that person achieve their goals in the most efficient way possible. But I always try to keep it fun. I mean, I work my clients hard, but you know, we try to keep it as a process that they're going to enjoy coming back. It's an important part of their day, an important part of their life. Keeps them coming back so they can ultimately have that success.
So ideally, I guess my next question is, I mean, how do you kick somebody's butt, but make it fun as well?
Well, what you try to do is you try to engage them in some conversation, find out a little bit about them. You know, you talk to them, find out about their families, find out about their work, about their school, you know, and just really make it something where you're engaging with that person. That's the most important thing, is to show that you care about their lives as well as their fitness. And if you do that and you throw in little jokes here and there and stuff like it makes the process, it makes the time go that much quicker. And I think it really helps, I don't want to say distract them, because we want them focused on it, but it helps them to exercise and know that there can be some of that fun to it. If it isn't something that you enjoy, you're not going to stay with it. So you have to make exercise, you have to make healthy eating. These are lifestyle changes. You have to make them something you can integrate and enjoy the process, because it's going to be a long haul for some people. It's not just a matter of exercising and eating right for 10 weeks or a few months to reach a short-term goal. What I want my clients to achieve is a different state of mind to help them long-term to be successful, to be healthier, to look better, to feel better.
To become ideally a lifestyle at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Right? There you go.
Absolutely.
Now, Mike, when looking at it, I tell you what, the biggest thing for me especially, you know, I've been on this workout kick now for a few months, and, you know, sometimes, you know, I wake up or I get home from work and I sit there and say, okay, today's gym day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling really comfy on this couch, though, right
yeah.
now. I mean, how do you instill discipline into the people that you work with?
Well, it's hard to instill discipline. What you try to do is pull it out of them. They've got the discipline in there. You've got to bring it to the surface.
Okay.
So one of the things I try to do is find out the schedule and the structure of the lives of these people that's going to most benefit them. Some people are morning people. They want to get up. They want to get it done. They want to get about their day. Other people, it's a noon hour thing. I'm going to run off of my lunch hour. The only time that I have, I'm going to get it in. It's going to revive me and get me ready for the afternoon, working in the confines of that day, because once they get home, they hit that sofa or the kids come running to them or whatever, it's going to be difficult to get back out of the house into the gym. Others, you know, it's a situation where after work, they can kind of go and de-stress. They can burn off some of that, the pressures of the day, and find some enjoyment in exercise. So you got to find the time of the day that's going to work best. You got to find the right program, the right exercises, the right environment. Some people love working out at home.
Yeah.
They don't need a personal trainer. Maybe they need one for a few sessions just to understand the process and the proper way to do the exercises. For some people, they like that accountability. They got to come see that trainer. They know they're there waiting for them. It's a fitness partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helps them to be effective and you know, keeping it as a long-term sort of commitment. So it really is something, I feel the motivation, the intrinsic motivation is there. Maybe not all the time, but when you start working with that client, you find ways to bring that to the surface. They're having a tough day, we're gonna work through it. Might not be our best workout, but we're gonna get a workout in, and we're gonna keep building and working towards that goal.
Really all mental at the end of the day, right?
It really is. It really is. You just gotta stay focused on your goals. And like I said, you just gotta make it something where it's a priority in your life. There's only 24 hours in a day. We've all got a lot of responsibilities and pressures. You've got to make it a priority and put it first.
Okay, Mike, life. Now let's get to the holidays now. Mm. Now again, next
love the
week.
Holidays.
I know, 7 days away now. 7 days away.
Yeah, I got to get some Christmas shopping.
I haven't even started mine. That's another subject for another day, right? But I tell you what, when looking at the holidays, though, again, 7 days from now, I'm going to be sitting there, you know, enjoying cheesecake, turkey, dressing, mac and cheese. Oh, I'm getting
making
hungry
me
right now.
Yeah.
I know. I'm starving right now. Let's go get something after the show.
All right, sounds good.
But, you know, when you look at that, though, when you look at Christmas Day and just the holidays in general, is there a way to binge eat but still do it and do it in a healthy way? Is that even possible, or does that sound crazy?
Well, the term binge is probably not something we want to use. There's a way to eat and enjoy the food of the holidays,
okay. But
keep it in a balance. One of the things I try to tell my clients or people that ask the question, you want to keep everything sort of in that balance. You want to keep your regular lifestyle as much as you can. You want to keep to your workout schedule when you can. There's going to be other obligations, holiday parties and shopping and things of the sort, time with the family. But you want to try to stay on that as much as you can, because that's going to keep you feeling better about yourself mentally and physically. It's going to keep you burning calories, some of those extra calories you might be consuming at these parties. So you try to keep your workout schedule as consistent as you can. You try to keep your eating outside of those gatherings and those splurges as consistent as you can. So I look at it as, don't be a martyr. Don't try to just avoid those situations, feel uncomfortable or guilty if you eat. Just try to find that balance that you need to have in order to be successful.
Gotcha.
Have that confidence. And there's little things that you can do.
Yeah, what are those things? That's what I'm gonna get to next. I mean, are there any certain holiday foods that are healthier choices over others or not?
I mean, usually when you go to a gathering, there's gonna be some healthier choices. There's gonna be maybe a fruit tray or a veggie tray or some of these things that you can have.
Right.
Again, I think it's perfectly acceptable to have a little bit of everything, but keep the portion sizes moderate. The thing is, you know, if we decide to run over and have all the sweets and all the goodies and all this and load our plate up with that, we're probably gonna end up intaking more calories than we really should for that day. Doesn't mean we can't get back on track the next day, but try to make some healthier choices when you're there. Get some of those foods that we know are gonna help to fill us up and control or moderate our appetite a little bit. Another little trick I've used is, before you go to the gathering, if you have a small meal, even something with a little bit of protein in there, what it'll do, as opposed to going hungry and seeing these foods and just feeling like, oh, let me at that plate, get me to that buffet, you know, it's a go, is it kind of keeps your appetite in check a little bit. It actually helps you to control some of those choices a little bit more, probably a little bit more in line with what you're really trying to achieve. So what the protein does, as opposed to maybe not eating or having a quick carbohydrate snack, is it stabilizes that blood sugar. And a lot of times the drop in blood sugar is what really drives us to go and get those foods and indulge in them, or overindulge, as we should say.
So you talk about those small meals to sort of hone that appetite. I mean, give me an example. I mean, of something to eat before you go out and your eyes don't get too open when you see that
plate. I'll do sometimes, you're absolutely right. What I'll do sometimes is have like maybe a piece of fruit with a little natural peanut butter on there. Again, it gives me some protein, a little bit of good steady carbs, some healthy fat. Not a lot, but enough to kind of stabilize me a little bit. Maybe a little protein bar or something just to put in the system again, so we have something in there to help us balance out the equation, so we get in there and we feel like we're more in control of the situation. So a smaller meal, a snack or something before you go can certainly work out, probably better than starving yourself all day and showing up at this gathering and just going after everything. And if it is a situation where you have a little bit too much, you know what, the next day you try to make up for it. I'm going to be a little more active, I'm going to cut back a little bit on what I eat, things like that. And you know, sometimes it's just, you gotta be creative. I've gone to gatherings and just, you know, got my plate of food, I'm gonna run in place because
right,
you know
place.
What it's gonna do? It's gonna burn some extra calories and some of that food's gonna fall off the plate, you're not gonna eat it anyway, so. I'm pulling your leg out, we're not running in place.
I was about to say, I may look a little weird doing it at the next holiday party, but I see
it'll
where you're
get a
going.
Lot of attention, yeah. No, probably not a great idea.
No,
but you know,
do
something
that.
Where, you know, like I said, you're going there to enjoy the people. That's
right.
What you're there for. You're there to share times with people. The food is really kind of secondary to that. So enjoy it, but do it in moderation.
I love that. Mike, great advice,
right.
Mike. Now, before we go into our 12-minute segment, I want to ask, I mean, what is the biggest mistake that an individual who's trying to start a healthy lifestyle, what hurdles and mistakes do you see them make initially on that journey?
Too much too soon. Their expectations sometimes are a little unrealistic. They decide they need to get from point A to point B in this amount of time, and if they don't reach it, they're a failure. And to me, again, I certainly understand the short-term goal. Someone's going on vacation, you know, train some college students, they've got spring break coming up, they want to be in shape for that. Or you train someone, maybe they got a wedding or a big gathering or something coming up in the summer. I understand the attitude they have of really focusing and making that a goal. And that's good because it motivates them to some degree to get into that gym and work out and to eat healthy. But again, the focus is trying to be, we're changing behaviors, we're changing a lifestyle. This is going to take some time. The initial results you see sometimes aren't always on the scale. They aren't always in the way our clothes are going to fit, the way we feel. We're going to sleep better, we're going to be less stressed, we're going to have more energy. Some of those intangibles that you feel healthier. And then as you evolve in the process, you start to really see those physical changes. And a lot of times, they might take a little longer, but once they come, they're a more permanent part of your lifestyle. And it's amazing to see people when they really latch on and when they get it. Because what happens a lot of times is that weight loss really starts to accelerate. Why? Because they fine-tune their diet, they start to be consistent with their exercise, they put on little muscle, which raises their metabolism, and all of a sudden, it's just, as a trainer, you kind of just feel like, wow, they're at this point, I'm gonna stand back and just watch their success.
Right.
But what gets people in trouble a lot is they expect too much too soon. They either jump in with these unrealistic expectations or try to do so much exercise in the first couple weeks, they get sore, they get discouraged, and they quit. So don't fall into that trap. You yourself, obviously you're a fit guy, so you know what to do. But for all the viewers out there, don't fall into that trap of trying to basically get in there and completely overhaul everything right away. Give yourself some time to adjust and be successful and develop some momentum.
Got to have realistic expectations. Got to love that, Mike. Now for you, I mean, when you see an individual that you're working with get it and it clicks, I mean, what's that feeling like for you?
It's extremely satisfying because you know what? You feel like it's obviously something I give them the total credit for because they've done it. It's just a matter of they've taken some of the resources that I provided to them in terms of, bringing some exercise they're going to be successful, helping, giving them some advice on how to eat correctly, maybe giving them some encouragement to stay with it during this process when times are getting a little bit tough, providing that accountability. Got to come train with Mike Ball, it's 8 o'clock, let's go do it. Maybe the kick in the butt or the pat on the back, whatever it might take for that person. So like I said, it's a fitness partnership, we're doing it together, but at the end of the day, it's that person that's really put in the effort to see those results. They're the one lifting the weights, they're the ones on the treadmill, they're the one making those tough decisions when it comes to the grocery shopping and the types of foods that they're eating. So to me, that's the most rewarding part of it, is when they get those results and they start to feel really positive about themselves, because then it's just a matter of continuing that success.
Now, Mike, you talk about how every individual is different. Everybody's motivated by different things.
Mm-hmm.
When you approach an individual, because, I mean, with some individuals, you have to kind of take a step back and approach them with a little more, you can't be all up in their face and
exactly.
Oh, go ahead and do it. You gotta take a subtle approach to it. How do you figure out how to motivate somebody upon first meeting them?
Usually what I do, the first meeting I'm going to have with a person is not going to be something where I'm going to take them into the gym and just start hitting the weights or hitting the exercises. I want to take, almost like the type of thing we're doing now, I can sit down, I can engage them a little bit, I can find out what makes them tick, find out a little bit more about them. So I know where they're coming from in terms of, what types of things they've tried in the past that have maybe worked or haven't worked, what their lifestyle is, what their time commitments and so forth are. When you find out these things, it's much easier to structure a program that's going to fit their needs. How many days a week are they going to be able to get in exercise? How long can they stay? What other challenges are they going to be faced with? What other sorts of things? Do they have a good supportive home environment? Do they have people that are eating other types of foods that are almost, going to make it more difficult, more challenging for them? So find out as much as you can about them as a person and the types of things that they're dealing with in their daily lives, and that can help you really to establish a good rapport and put that program in such a place that it's unique for them and their success. The basic rules apply to everybody. I mean, if you're trying to lose weight, you're going to move more and you're going to eat less. But the way that you facilitate that is going to be different for each person.
Mike Ball, personal trainer and psychologist, I guess.
There you go.
Right?
That's part of it right there is the psychology. Absolutely.
Gotta love it. Mike, you got 5 more minutes.
I do.
Stick around, my man, because the 12th man starts right now. All right. Well, it is my favorite part of the show where I stop barraging you with questions, Mike, and we go to our social media pages, facebook.com/currentsports, and my Twitter page, at AlMartinWKR, and a lot of folks out there want to get fit and get healthy, and we have some great questions for you. You ready?
I guess I am. Let's do it.
Let's start with the first one. Heidi from DeWitt wants to know,
okay,
as a personal trainer, what's your proudest success story that you've had at hand in?
Oh, boy.
Proudest success story.
Proudest success story. I've had a number of those. I think I've had a couple of clients, I'll spare you their names at this point, who've come to me and I want to almost say a sense of desperation because they've tried weight loss before, they've tried to make some behavior changes before, unsuccessfully. They're kind of at wit's end. And I've had a couple of clients, one male, one female, that fall in this category. and significantly overweight, significant health risks. These are individuals close to my age, almost a little bit older. And so for me to be able to develop a partnership with them and help them, guide them through the process of losing this weight, and not only looking better, feeling better, but we're talking about really improving their quality of life to the point where they can get up and they can move around, where they can, you know, reduce their risk for chronic diseases, people that, you know, have been suffering from some diabetes and arthritis, and then see those tangible things. It's one thing to just help somebody look a little bit better for the swimsuit season, or, you know, perform a little bit better on the basketball court or something. Those are wonderful things, but when you see somebody really have a life-altering event and you know the impact that has on themselves and their family, that's the most rewarding thing to me. And I've had the opportunity, wow, to do that on a few occasions, and that's always the most fulfilling.
That is fantastic right stuff. Very good question from Heidi. Appreciate
Thanks,
that. All right, Craig from East Lansing wants to know, I'm thinking about trying the at-home workout P90X. Should I believe the hype when it comes to these at-home regimens?
Yes and no. Certain aspects of these, P90X being one of them, I borrow from regularly. I love some of the body weight moves and so forth that they incorporate. I'll put them into routines like some of the circuit training programs for a little bit more advanced clients that I have. The one thing that I caution people on are, yes, sometimes the expectations can be a little unrealistic, like we talked about before. I mean, don't expect miracles. You see these people, the supposed before and after shots, and you realize sometimes there might be more involved in this. There might be a longer time frame. There might have been all kinds of stuff involved beyond P90X or whatever you might see on the screen. Overall, the exercise programs can be very good, but you want to ease into them slowly. If you're a sedentary person and you jump into an intense P90X sort of thing, you're going to be sore. There's a chance you might not really be able to do the exercises as appropriately as you'd like. Don't get frustrated by that. Try to start with the most basic components of that, mm-hmm, and build up. You know, it might be something like a wall sit or a basic wall push-up or, you know, crunches or very basic things. Not necessarily what they're doing as much on the video in terms of getting the heart rate up, but it's a chance for you to start out small and achieve success. I like to see people start out with something that's in their wheelhouse, so to speak, mm-hmm, and build upon that and get that confidence and get that momentum.
Definitely ease into it. Craig, absolutely, ease into it, my man. All right, good question. Really quickly here, one more for you here, Mike. Lily from St. John's wants to know, how much should the average person hit the gym per week?
A couple things I'm going to say there, Lily. One is, I'm a huge advocate of physical activity, which means basically moving more even outside of the gym. Now, this time of the year, I know it's a little bit tough. You know, weather's getting bad. It's winter and so forth. It's hard to get outside, but getting up, moving around during the course of your work day is so important and critical to overall health. So I look at it almost as physical activity versus gym time. I'd much rather see a person getting up and moving around and incorporating physical activity into their lives than just being a sedentary person and going to the gym two or three times a week and feeling like they're getting the full benefits of health. Having said that, I think 2 to 3 days a week at the gym for most people is certainly adequate. Yeah. One's probably not quite enough. More than the three sometimes is too big a time commitment, especially when you start out. Now, if it evolves into that and you love the gym and you really start to establish goals related to that, that's fine. But try to find consistently 2 to 3 days a week and embrace the concept of being more active in your lifestyle, and you can achieve success.
There you go. Great question, Lily. Well, hey, you just motivated me, Mike. Time to
awesome.
Hit the gym, right? Let's get healthy, folks. Mike Ball, appreciate it, my
Thanks,
man.
Thanks, Al.
Oh, gotta love Mike Ball. That's great advice, and hopefully we heed to it over the holiday weekend, all right? Well, let's hit our last break of the show. When we come back, we'll take a look at the year that was in sports. Don't go anywhere. Reflection of the year. We'll be back in a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. Really briefly here, we got about 5 minutes left in the show. I want to let you guys know that we do have a pair of Michigan State and Texas Southern men's basketball tickets that we are giving away on the show. If you want to call in right now, you got 5 minutes to do so. The first caller will win those tickets, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Go. All right, here we go, folks. Well, again, here we go. Just the year is coming to a close here. We always, each and every Friday, take a look at the week that was in sports. Well, today, we're going to take a look at the year that was in sports. Here we go. Here's Reflection Friday.
All right, folks, Reflection Friday, where we are going to take a look at the year that was in sports. And here are some of my favorite moments that occurred this year. First, I want to go with Richard Sherman. Now, again, after Richard Sherman, Seattle Seahawks, had beat the San Francisco 49ers in January to reach the Super Bowl, he went on an epic trash-talking rant in a post-game interview with Fox's own Aaron Andrews. Now, it led to a two-week news cycle of all Sherman all the time, and he had a clear message for the haters. Folks, if you haven't seen that rant, it's one of my favorite ever in sports. Check it out. I mean, this year was really Richard Sherman's, folks. All right. And the Super Bowl. I mean, it was such a big matchup. You had the Seahawks taking on the Broncos. Could Peyton Manning get that other ring? I thought that he would. Many people did. The Broncos were actually favored in that game. But shout out to the Seattle Seahawks proving that defense wins championships. This was also an Olympic year, folks. Sochi, Russia. It was where they held the Winter Olympics this year. Fantastic Winter Olympics. You know, I caught a few events here and there. But I tell you what, Sochi had a lot of problems out there because, it was just kind of unprepared to host the Olympics this year. A lot of journalists traveled there to cover the Olympics. Reporters tweeted they're still unfinished accommodations. The hashtag Sochi problems was real big. It took on a life of its own. Pictures of hotels that didn't have adequate running water. Pictures of construction going on left and right. It was just a bad situation out in Sochi, but still an Olympic year. And shout out to all the champions out there that took home gold medals. How about UConn's Cinderella run, huh? Again, an undersized scoring guard, a second-year coach, a 7 seed. The UConn Huskies were not supposed to win, folks, but they did. And how about Shabazz Napier, who became one of my favorite college players of all time? UConn actually eliminated Michigan State, if you remember. But congrats to UConn. Congrats to Kevin Ollie. What a fantastic year for them. This is also a year that many people won't forget concerning the Los Angeles Clippers and the NBA owner's racist bombshell. If you don't remember, I mean, Donald Sterling, how can you not remember this story? He was the former owner of the LA Clippers. He made a string of racist comments that were caught on tape by his then-girlfriend, Vivian Stiviano, that got a lot of press. We talked about that for like over a week here on Current Sports. Interesting stuff, and that certainly was one of the more talked about episodes and more talked about weeks, I should say, here on the show. Also, I got to bring up this, Luis Suarez. Do you remember him taking a bite out of the World Cup, literally? Now, he had bitten before. He's a soccer player. And on the biggest stage in the World Cup match against Italy, Luis Suarez decided to take a chomp out of an Italian defender, setting up a flame worldwide. It was all over the internet. And again, Suarez, I guess he's just a hungry player because he's done this multiple times before. But I've never seen a player constantly bite individuals. I mean, we've seen it in Mike Tyson. But, I mean, this is a guy who just kept on doing it. So, again, those are some of my favorite moments. And probably my number one moment, I got to bring up the Kings return home. That was my most memorable story of the year 2014. LeBron James going from Miami and returning to Cleveland. Kind of a rocky start, but hey, shout out to LBJ. What about you, Alex?
Yeah, just to wrap up, domestic violence and violence overall, man. With the Ray Rice, you got a South African athlete killing his girlfriend. Hands up, you got all the stuff with Ferguson. There was stuff earlier on in the spring that I'm forgetting too. But overall, just domestic violence is just bad. And also, how about Michigan State track and field, the first national championship basically in a long, long time. And that definitely leaves a mark and a legacy.
Certainly. Got to shout out Walt Drenth and his team. All right, well, thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic weekend. Next week, we start up our Current Sports holiday Best of Marathon. You don't want to miss that, folks. It's going to be a fantastic week as Christmas approaches. Take care and be easy, people.